This message is brought to you by the Shepherd's Flock International Church.
We could just close the service from now and go home. Are we not blessed already? Hallelujah. Father, we just bless your name once again. We love you. We appreciate you. We magnify you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for the price that Jesus paid. You paid it all, Lord. We're grateful unto you. Thank you, Jesus. As we go into this session of word, breathe upon it in the name of Jesus. Let it be a ministration of life unto us. Open our hearts to receive your counsel. Let there be clarity. Let there be grace. And let there be strength to do what you expect of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, let's have the slide. Hallelujah. I'm happy at what God is doing in our lives this morning. You may just want to congratulate somebody on your right and on your left for being in church, for being a partaker of this blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have this light. Let's have this light. Don't take it away. So we're looking at the topic this morning. You shall love the Lord, your God. Can we say it together? One more time. You shall love the Lord, your God. Hallelujah. We'll be reading from the book of Matthew. That's where the Lord gave us that command. Next slide. The book of Matthew 22. And I'll just read from verse 36 to 38. This was a context where a lawyer asked Jesus, says, which is the greatest commandment? Say, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your being. And this is the first and the great commandment. This month, the theme we're looking at for the rest of the month is this is love. This is love. And we're starting this morning with love for God as a commandment. You know, this is not a piece of advice. It's not an admonition. It's not an encouragement that it is good to love the Lord. No. He says, and you shall love the Lord. And it is the greatest commandment. Amen. So it's not... Can I please put the slide there? Are you scared of it? I'm sure you are not. It's not a mere advice, like I said. It's a command that demands the totality of us. It requires the best of our expression in all the areas where our life forces can be expressed. In our spirit, in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions. And in our strength, in our might, in all the areas where your life can be expressed, you must show love for God to the extreme best that you can offer. And it's a command. It's a command. Loving the Lord is the first and the great commandment, and it is the pillar on which all other commandments rest. There is no activity or service, or spiritual experience, or demonstration that can replace or take the place of loving the Lord. It was Apostle Paul that said in 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1, he says, if I give my body to be offered as sacrifice, and I have no love, he says it is nothing. I may sing with the song of angels. I may speak tongues. I may do anything, express miracles, whatsoever it is that I do. If love is not a part of it, if love is not there as a foundation, it says it's a waste. So we may serve the Lord. We may engage in activities. Whatever it is we do, love must be at the foundation of it. Love must be at the foundation of it. And it's important to note that Jesus reprimanded the church of Ephesus. We're going to read it. He reprimanded them. And if you read Jesus' reprimand, you'll be wondering, what was it that they did not do? Let's go to the next slide and read from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, from verse 1. Jesus speaking there. He says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. Says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now see what the Lord is saying concerning them as commendation from verse 2. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. They don't tolerate evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not. That is, they don't take people by their words. They test all spirits because they really want to hold on to that which only is God's. Are you getting it? They are meticulous. They don't want pollution. And you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake. It was not for their glory. They were not seeking their own. Everything they did for the sake of the name of the Lord. And in doing it, they never expressed weariness once. They were not tired. Wake them 2 a.m., they will be there. Are we getting it? So what else would you say that kind of church lacked? He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Next slide. It continues from verse 5. He says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I don't know how else to describe it. And let's carefully pay attention to the words of Jesus. He says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. By not paying as much attention to love as they paid at first, Jesus said they had fallen. Says they should remember from where they had fallen. We shall not fall in the name of Jesus. He now says, repent and do the first works. Please, which other works could be better than the ones that Jesus himself attested concerning them? They were patient, they were hardworking, they were not weary, they did everything for his name's sake, they hated the works of the Nicolaitans. Caught them anywhere, they were there. And he said, repent and do the first works. Meaning that loving the Lord is work. And it is the first work. It is the cardinal work on which every other work and service is rested. If it is not there, any other thing is a waste. Our work and service for the Lord will not be a waste in Jesus' name. And the Lord will not remove our lampstand in the name of Jesus. And he says, unless you repent. So repent of what? Repent of not loving the Lord as they should. So not loving the Lord as the first and the greatest priority of your life to God is a sin. And he says you should repent of it. Next slide. And this is a serious matter. Now, if Jesus reprimanded the church of Ephesus for walking away from their first love, what about those who have been walking with him but didn't have any love? Are we still together? When he said they should repent, what was his counsel to them? Go back to your first works, right? So if the Lord is to rebuke us today and he asks us to go back to our first works, our first love, do we have something we can call first love? It is not a message of condemnation. It's a charge and a challenge. And let me assure you, even if you didn't have something you could call first love for God, it is not too late. Today is still a good day to start walking with the Lord. I'm not saying you have not been born again. Let me give you the experience of a dear sister. I've known this lady now for over 25 years, probably going to 30. She's been born again all the years I've known her. We were talking recently and she shared her experience. How many years have I known her? Or more? How many years has she been born again to my knowledge? For as long as I've known her. As of last year, she said she now started a journey of intimacy with God. She said that before that time, she didn't even realize that Joshua was a book in the Bible. Did you hear what I said? That when they say Joshua, she knew that Joshua was a name, but didn't know that Joshua was a whole book in the Bible. And she had been born again for more than 20 years. But last year, she made up her mind, I will walk with this God differently. And between that time and now, she has wonderful experiences with the Lord, walking with him. So it is not too late to pick up a walk of love with the Lord. Just a few days back, this lady went somewhere with her children. And when they were to go back home, the vehicle refused to start. And one of the children told her, "Mommy, you know what to do. Just do what you need to do." And she said, "That's correct. I should know what to do." The same vehicle that she started and started and started and started and started and didn't respond. She remembered her position in the Lord in intimacy. He said, "Vehicle, I speak to you, start." One turn, it started. A walk of intimacy. You know what it does? It's not just a service to the Lord. He brings God's reality upon our lives. He makes us walk in the realm of God. That's where he's calling us. Not just activities. Not just that church is 8 and you are there before 8. It is fine. But much more than that, what is the quality of our walk with that God? Amen. So it is not too late. It is said that the best time to plant a tree was when? 20 years ago. The next bedtime is what? So you can start today. So you can start cultivating this loving walk and relationship with the Lord if you have not already started. And it's a good invitation to you. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The Lord is good. Those who have tasted him, they know. May you taste and experience the goodness of the Lord in Jesus' name. The Lord is good. The Lord is sweet. That's where he's calling us. And if you are already established in this walk with the Lord, may you receive grace and strength to do more in the name of Jesus. You will not go back. You will not lose your first love in the name of Jesus. And let's see the example of Jesus. He charged us. He called us. He commanded us. You remember some months back, we did a topic on a call to intimacy, where it was established that loving the Lord is doing his command. You remember? Now, Jesus modeled loving the Lord for us. And I'd like us to read this passage. I love the way he walked with the Father and he expressed it. He was not apologetic about it. John 5 from 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." He was so intimate with the Father. It is whatever he saw the Father do that he would do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. In the place of love, God shows his secret. He shows his plans. He speaks to those who care, those who spend time with him. He lets them know the next things he's planning to do and recruits them from there to join with him to do those things. It's a place of revelation. It's a place of knowing. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Whatever the Father does, the blind man, the Father has healed him, and he shows you, you meet the person, you know that this is a concluded case, God has healed him, just lay your hands, that's all. You don't even pray in those circumstances because you have seen it done already. Amen. The Father shows you what he does. Verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." In whatever we do, we seek to do the will of the Father. We seek to please him. We seek to love him. And he loves us. Remember, he said in John 14, 15, "Say, this is how to love me, to obey my commandments. And if you obey my commandments," he says, "I will love you. My Father will love you. I and my Father will make our abode with you." Verse 21. John 14. That is it. Let's see again another modeling of Jesus. John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So Jesus wasn't just about activities, but about the will of the Father. John 14:31 says that, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." The commandment that the Father gave him, that was what he did. So the same way he gives us commandments, if we love him, we will do those commandments. John 15, 9 to 10, he says, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he's not asking us to do what he himself has not done. He's not giving us a command that he himself has not subjected himself to. So you love the Lord, you do his command. Amen. Next slide. Loving the Lord, it is done in spirit and in truth. God put so much into seeking us when we are lost. You remember the parable of the shepherd that had 100 sheep. Only one was lost. He put aside the 99 and went after only one that was lost. That is how much the Lord can seek us out. But the moment he finds us, the responsibility now shifts upon us to seek him until we find him, until we know him, until we know his name, until we have experiences with him. He says, the time comes and now is when the Father, when the worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because these are the kinds of people that the Father is seeking. Those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Those who would serve him. Those who would love him with the whole of their hearts. They don't just say, I love you. They are saying it from their hearts. Remember, Jesus said that these people, they love me only with their mouth, but their heart is far away. So the Father is not seeking those that will say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it ends there. He's seeking those that love him from the heart, that love him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So it's important. And we must seek him. We must seek him. We must seek him, because when we seek him, we find him. When we seek the Lord, we find him. Hallelujah. Now, communicating love to the Father. Communicating love to God. Next slide. When you have love, it is almost impossible that there will not be communication. For those who have experienced love, you would desire to have an exchange, right? Where there is love, there will be songs. Where there is love, there will be a yearning for proximity, for closeness, especially after some moments or periods of distance or separation. You will want to have that proximity, that closeness. I'm talking of where there is love. I hope I'm not alone in that matter. Very good. That is where there is love. And when we say there must be communication. Why? The Lord said to us, he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why should they say so? Yes, they have been redeemed. Don't they know? Doesn't the Lord know? But he says they must say so. Confess it. I want to share an experience. Why we must say so? When we love the Lord, we must say so. We were here in May. I called out the 5F committee conference. And we prayed for them. We inaugurated them. So the next day, I was putting up a prayer program to pray for upcoming programs of the church for the year. So that was May. So Children's Day, I wrote it down. Father's Day, June, I wrote it there. Men's Conference, Biennial, I wrote it there. I now got to 5F Conference.
So I wanted to write 5F Conference 2023. And I started hearing in my mind, 5F Conference 2024. Ah. 5F Conference 2024. Ah. You know what I was hearing? I was hearing myself the previous day. As I stood there, I made the mistake of announcing 5F Conference 2024. And I made that announcement not less than twice. How many of us remember? Some people, very good. So I wanted to write 5F Conference 2023, but I was hearing myself loud and clear, 5F Conference 2024. I said, that means that was what I said yesterday. Are you getting it? So I got home that day. I asked my son, because he was one of those that were called out. Said, yesterday, did I make a mistake saying 5F Conference 2024? He said he couldn't remember. But me, I was hearing myself. How did I hear myself? Because I said so. When you love the Lord and you say so, even when you forget, you will hear, you will recall, it will echo in your mind that you have said so, that you love the Lord. Amen. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed. So if you love the Lord, there must be communication. And we're not just saying, say so. You must choose your words. Loving words to communicate and relate to the Lord. In Hosea 14:2, he says, when you are coming to the Lord, take words with you. Select your words. Hallelujah. It says, take words with you and return to the Lord. And part of what you say to him, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. What sacrifices are you communicating with your lips to the Lord? And for somebody who may say that God works by principles, God is not emotional. God responds to our emotions. He may not be ruled by emotions, but he's moved by emotions. Amen. At least we know that when Noah, after the flood, sacrificed and a sweet aroma went up, what happened? The Lord smelled it. And what happened? He made a covenant. He made a commitment. He responded to aroma. Don't forget that we are made in his image. If he responds to emotions, it is not unlikely that God will respond to emotion. When God sent a judgment of the plague in Numbers 25 upon Israel, when they sinned with the Midianite women, and a particular man, while they were repenting before the Lord, a particular thoughtless man now carried another Midianite girl in the open and went into the tent, wanted to sleep with her. And one man by the name of Phinehas, in anger, in annoyance, he took a spear. Say, don't you think, you know, people not died? He went after them and thrust the guy and the girl. One strike, two of them dead. And the Lord said, this zeal, I like it. Whatever death has happened before now is finished. God responded, okay, if you think that God is too principled to respond to emotions, when people cry for mercy and God responds, is it principle, is it emotion? You can answer the question, don't worry. Amen. So when you come to God, bring sweet words. They please the Lord. God responds positively to emotions. He may not be ruled by emotions all the time, but he responds. He responds. So when you say you love the Lord, God loves it. It pleases his heart when you bring the fruit of your lips. Amen. Okay. So let's see a few examples of sweet words that can be said to the Lord. Book of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14b. Songs of Solomon. He says, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your countenance is lovely. If you say this to God, will God hate you? Hallelujah. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my cry. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Isn't that a good word to say to the Lord? Another one said in 73 of Psalm, that's Asaph, I think. Asaph. He says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth I desire besides you. He says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. If you say this kind of words to the Lord, wouldn't he be pleased? And we are not just saying it with your mouth. You are saying it in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So it is important that we bring words to the Lord. It doesn't have to be Psalms. It doesn't have to be Bible verses. It can be words, your own very words. And I have an example here by a man, Randy Butler. The words of a song. And the song is titled Master Savior. He says, words fail to convey. There are times you come to God and there are not enough words. Even when you have brought words, you have exhausted your words. He says, but please hear my heart say, I love you. Amen. He says, here I am again. Simply lost for words. That is, it is not the first time. It's a regular experience that when it comes to God, there are times that words just fail him. He says, even when I have the words, they only say in part what is in my heart for you. Hallelujah. Bring your words. I wish we had the time. I would have loved to sing this song. Don't worry. Next slide. Okay, I have the time. I pray I have the time. Maybe later in the service. All right. So love is work. Love is work. And thankfully, it looks like we will have the time. Love is work. And it is work with great reward. You remember Hebrews 6:10, talking about God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown unto his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Work, love is work. Remember when Jesus asked the Ephesian church to go back to their first love? He said, go back to your first works. Amen. When you are selecting words to bring to the Lord, it's not something you do casually or carelessly or thoughtlessly. It's work. When you are enduring, when you are bearing for the Lord with your whole heart, it is work. But it is work with great reward. Amen. And let's see some of the rewards. When you love the Lord, it preserves you. It spares you. It exempts you. And it elevates. Psalm 91 verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me. That is, you bring the totality of your love and cast it upon the Lord. How does the Lord respond? He says, therefore, I will do what? I will deliver him. And I will do what? I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. May you know the name of the Lord. May you experience the Lord where you actually know his dimensions. You know, his names give his dimensions of revelation or interaction with man. May you know the name of the Lord. May you experience him. Because you have set your love upon the Lord, he will deliver you. He will set you on high because you have known his name. Let's look at a particular church. And it's instructive how Jesus exempted this church, the church in Philadelphia. Revelation 2 from verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. What did he say to them? I know your works." After I know your works, what is there? No. Before C, between works and C, what is there? Full stop. I know your works. Full stop. What is next? I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, when he was talking to the Ephesian church, I know your works, your labor, your patience, your perseverance. You do this. But this particular church, he said, I know your works. Full stop. Whatever they needed to discuss, they had discussed it in intimacy. Jesus knew them, they knew Jesus. And look at it. He says, I set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, because you have little strength. So what you cannot accomplish, I take it upon myself to do it for you. And he says, because you have little strength, you have kept my word. What is the mark of loving the Lord? Keeping his word. So he didn't say that you love me, but implicitly saying that you love me. I know your works. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. And look at it. He says, let's continue from the part in blue. Of course, he says he would bring those people who said they were synagogue and whatever, and make them to come and worship before them, and to know that I have loved you. Remember in John 14, he keeps saying, if you love me and do this, I will love you, my Father will love you, right? He's now saying that, so that people will know that I have loved you, these are the things I will do. And besides, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. Can you imagine that kind of exemption? The whole world will go through an hour of trial. But because this church loved the Lord, kept his command, he says they will be exempted from it. What a loving exemption. You shall be exempted in Jesus' name. You shall love the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is love that is with the whole heart. Love that is in spirit and in truth. And love that is demonstrated in keeping his word, observing his commands. And it is for our good. Amen. All right. So let's go to the next slide. I think we're running off, so we can still have time to take that song for those that by popular demand. All right. So love grows. Love grows. Love grows. And love grows based on how much we know of God, especially in relation to ourselves. It grows when we know our limitations, our need of him, our vacuity, our emptiness. That's what I mean. Jesus went somewhere. It was a feast, a private feast. And as he sat, a lady came with long hair, alabaster oil. She was weeping, drenching Jesus' feet with her tears, wiping with her hair, you know, anointing him and all of that. And the people that invited Jesus said, if this man were a prophet, if he had the spirit of God, he would have discerned what manner of woman this is. It's a false prophet. allowing sinners to touch him. And Jesus gave them a parable, the summary of which, because of time, he says, this woman, because her sins were many and has been forgiven much, the gravity of her forgiveness has created in her a depth of love that you guys cannot relate to. You think you are okay. That's why, you see, some people, when they are born again, right? But when they look at their lives, Jesus has done very little for them. Because after all, before they came to the Lord, they were not stealing. They were not fornicating. They were not really bad. You get what I'm saying? So what did Jesus do for them? He just wrote their name in heaven. Are you getting it? So, I mean, they don't really owe much to Jesus. And they are okay. But when somebody has seen the devastation that sin has brought about in his or her life, are you getting it? And Jesus recovers that person from such a devastation. The way they will hold on to the Lord is as if they have no other hope in life but God. So when we see, when we recognize the goodness of God on one hand and our damnation, our limitation, our weaknesses, the fact that we are doomed without him, when we come to that realization, it creates in us that depth of love. Amen. Love also grows when we give God our wholehearted engagement. We'll come to that as the final one. Love is reinforced by loving words, deep songs of love. Like I said earlier, if we say these good words to the Lord, they don't only please God, they also deepen our own commitment to him. They register something in us. Words are powerful. Words are very powerful. When we put our contemplation on the Lord, and you can read Psalm 104 by yourself, 33 and 34. Very important. And the final one, before we close, love grows when we give God our wholehearted engagement. I love the way God said this in the passage there, Jeremiah 30 verse 21b. The Lord is speaking there. He says, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this man that engaged his heart to approach unto me, says the Lord? When you engage your heart, you know, we said that love is work. It's not casual. It's not a lazy man's work. When you have made up your mind, you have set your heart to seek the Lord, to love him, to engage with him, God now says, when I find such a person, I will cause him to draw near. Remember, he says, draw near unto him, and he shall draw near unto you. So God is searching. He says that his eyes, they run to and fro the whole heart to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect, is loyal towards him. When the Lord spots, you know, he's a global scanner. When he scans and sees where a loyal heart is there, he will zoom and take you up closer to him. You have set your heart doing your bit. He now causes you to draw near. So when you have engaged your heart to seek him, to approach him, he will cause you. Are you getting it? He will make room. He says, those that are already bearing fruit, he will prune them that they might do what? Bear more. You have set your heart to love him, he will make it convenient for you to love him more. Hallelujah. So I'll take the song before we go to the final slide. Master Savior, my Creator. Master Savior, my Creator, I love you. Words fail to convey, please hear my heart say, I love you. Here I am again.
for words. Words can only say in part what is in my heart for you. Master, Savior, my Creator, I love you. Words fail to convey, please hear my heart say, I love you. Amen. Final slide. Who remembers the title of this message?
Love your God.
You shall
love the Lord your God.
Put the final slide there. Final, not the first. You shall love the Lord. Who?
Your God.
You shall love the Lord your God. You see, Jesus said when they asked him, teach us, Master, how to pray. He says, pray thus. How did he start it? Our Father. That's the start. So when he says, love the Lord, it's not the Lord of the whole earth. Are you getting it? It's the Lord your God. If he's your God, you will love him. No, there is a difference between you respect. You can respect God. He's powerful, right? The God, the maker of heaven and earth. You can fear him, right? But the Lord that is your God, it is almost impossible to have the Lord as your God and you won't love him. So I make an invitation this morning. I believe this is a good day and a good time for those who want to make the Lord their God. If there is anybody here, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to initiate a love walk with the Lord. Wherever you are, you can lift up your hands. We pray together. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to love this God as your God. Okay. Thank God all of us are already initiated into this work. Now let's stand on our feet. As we speak unto the Lord, this God is already your God. Make fresh commitment of love with him. Ask for the heart. He says that this heart might be in them to fear me, to love me. Ask for this heart that loves the Lord, that is passionate, that desires, that thirsts after the Lord. David says, as the deer pants after the water, so panted my heart after you. Lord, I receive a heart that thirsts, that hungers after you, that loves you, not just in words of mouth, in intimacy, in the totality of my spirit, my soul, and my body, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, everlasting Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Your testimonies and inquiries to us via email on contact@tsfchurch.com or WhatsApp us on +234 818 811 1112.